Welcome back, everyone. This is Let's Talk About Star Wars with him, Tom Merritt, and her, Jenny Josephson, and me, Garrett Weinzierl. And we're going to do just that. Welcome back, everyone. How you been? It's been a little while since we've done one of these. So long, in fact, we've been getting those dreaded, is the show still going tweets?
Oh, the show's always going, folks. It's always going in our minds. Just, you know, when we're not here talking in your ears, just imagine us. We're there. You'll hear our voices whispering on the wind.
Commune
like
with the
so
force.
Many kyber crystals.
Thrawn.
and Jenny, already with the Thrawn before we even start to move through our... Is that what you would like to talk about today, Jenny?
No, I'm just whispering on the wind. Hi.
Hi, Jenny. I believe, Tom, you and I had a really small Let's Talk About Star Wars while walking through a bowling alley parking lot in
Anaheim.
It's true.
We really did, actually. And we both remarked that it was very unfortunate that Jenny wasn't there right at the moment. We could have just recorded it.
Yeah, it was most unfortunate. It was most unfortunate.
You guys, can I just give you permission that if you're ever walking through a bowling parking lot together and talk about Star Wars, just record it. It's okay.
Well, all right. Now that we have your blanket permission, we'll try to remember to pull out our phones and record the next time that happens.
Yeah, that was that's all we were waiting for. That's all we were waiting for. Well, this episode, as always, is brought to you by our wonderful patrons supporting us over at patreon.com/ you guessed it. Let's talk about Star Wars. So thank you, everyone who's over there supporting the show. So
light side, dark side, support side is what all of you are on.
Exactly. Ewoks. We don't judge. We don't judge. I married into an Ewok loving relationship.
Me too.
I have to like Ewoks now. That's
hold on. Let me work that one through. What?
My wife loves Ewoks, unironically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like her favorite
thing.
Not
an Ewok loving.
Yeah,
like
I was
you were
like
maybe worried there.
Can
for
you
a
admit
second.
That?
I wish this was a video show because my office door just opened up and my wife just creepily leaned in the door and just goes, I heard about Ewoks.
Did someone say Ewoks?
Yeah, I wish I was kidding too. I can't make that up. I'm trying really hard not to crack up laughing right now. But yes, that's what's going on there. But it's okay. I still enjoy Return of the Jedi because scout troopers are really cool. And my favorite TIE fighter design is in that film as well.
All right.
Yeah. Answers to questions no one ever asks. But it's been a while since we've done one of these, so I'm just curious how you all have been going in your personal Star Wars lives. What have we been doing? I finally, guys, started watching Rebels Season 3. I've only seen the first episode, but I immediately now want to get back to it and start watching it. The first double episode was great. Jenny, I'm very curious to hear from you if you've seen it yet. And if so, is Thrawn everything you ever hoped and dreamed for?
Well, here's where I'm going to just break your GD heart, because I'm watching it this Thanksgiving weekend because I've been trying to do I've been trying to catch up and it hasn't been going very well. So all I've been allowing myself to do is just look at picture after picture of Thrawn on all the Star Wars sites, because the Star Wars things tweet them out. So this weekend, this very long weekend, I will finally have an opinion. So I'm
just
very
imagining
sorry.
You in like a classic rom-com teenager's bedroom, laying on your bed, looking through pictures of Thrawn.
Yeah, that's how excited I am.
Someday I'll watch Rebels.
There are two seasons before it, and my desire to be in that universe and my desire to watch things in the order that they happen are in like massive galaxy-wide civil war conflict. So
well, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, Jenny.
Yeah.
But he talks quite a bit like this.
Oh no! Oh no!
Does he?
I mean, if you say spoiling in the way of like, oh, that sounds awful, then maybe.
my impersonation is certainly not dead on, but he talks through his teeth a lot.
Well,
I'm putting a little more Thurston Howell in it than actually comes across on TV.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to watch it. I'm super excited. I have it all downloaded on the iTunes. And
I just
need time. I just need time.
But his skin is very blue and his eyes are glowing red.
Do you guys like the plot? Are you happy with it?
So far, yes. I was concerned within the first 5 minutes that they were just Ezra was going to be this insufferable evil going down the dark side prequel Anakin.
I was worried about that too. Yes, but
they kind of just address it in the first 40 minutes of this double episode,
and I was really worried they were going to drag that out, and I thought they didn't just address it in a dismissive way either. Like, they give you a like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. This is how that could be resolved in a way that still leaves lots of doors wide open, but doesn't make it at this, you know, is he or isn't he thing that's going to drag out all season long.
Right, right. And that being said, getting to watch Ezra kind of just, you know, play on the evil side of things lets them do a lot of fun things in this episode with the Force that I really enjoyed seeing.
And he's all grown, well, not all grown up, but I like that they're allowing him to get older, you know, and have different hairstyles.
I'm so glad he does not have like the 90s mid part haircut anymore.
Very stylish on Lothal at the time, yeah, I understand. Yeah. But
That being said, now he has Ken doll hair because of the style of the animation.
Weird.
Yeah, it just looks like a plastic cap just stuck on Lego style.
I almost prefer the mop top.
Yeah, it had some animation. It had some animation, which was nice.
I'm all the way caught up, and there have been varying qualities to the episodes, some better than others. The overall story arc isn't as strong this season. It is pretty much just Thrawn. Like, what's Thrawn gonna do is how I feel. And I don't want to say too much more for worry of spoiling you guys, because I know you're gonna catch up pretty soon. But it is a lot more about the building of the rebellion. And I think that's really cool. Like, I like that we're not so much a slave to the story arc that we can't tell really interesting stories that give you little bits and pieces that you're like, oh, I always wondered, you know, how they put that together and how that got started. Mm. And so we're getting little tiny answers to much larger questions than just your overall is Thrawn gone gim.
Thrawn. Well, yeah, and it seems like they are reasonably close to coming towards Rogue One, right? Like, how far off are they from what we believe the Rogue One timeline to be?
You know, there is an answer to that, and I don't know it off the top of my head.
Did I just ask a question that Tom Merritt doesn't know the answer to? Because I want moment.
Oh, yeah, no, I gave up. I gave up on preparing for things. That's my New Year's resolution. No, I think if I'm right, it's before Rogue One for sure, but I don't know how far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm positive it's before Rogue One. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know how far before. It seems relatively close, especially considering the characters that we've run into. Even you saw season two, right, Jenny?
I haven't seen any of it yet.
I haven't seen any of it. I forgot about that. Oh my goodness!
I have to catch up. I need all the seasons before I can watch the third season.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, if I'm being honest, I still prefer Clone Wars at this point. Rebels has still not won me over, has still not, I feel it hasn't fully grasped the Clone Wars baton, but I still like it. It's still good. It's still, they tell some real quality stories, but
is that sort of how I feel about Grey's Anatomy?
I literally cannot speak to that.
Star Wars Rebels is set 5 years before the events of the Star Wars original trilogy. So it is, I don't know exactly where Rogue One is, but Rogue One's within a year, right?
Right.
Of
A New Hope.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're really filling in this part of the timeline.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty neat.
I'm excited for it. And I really liked Thrawn, what I saw of him in the first long episode, because it's over 40 minutes. So I'm assuming when it aired, it was either a two-parter or just a long event, special event for the premiere. So I really enjoyed what I saw from him. I'm excited. If you're telling me that most of the season is focused on him, I'm down, because I really dig the fleet commander. Like, I like that side of the Imperial inner workings.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So. It has a very British Downton Abbey, but evil kind of thing going on.
Yeah. Downton Abbey was wielding giant planet-sized murder machines.
Right. Upstairs, everyone else.
Yeah, so But beyond that, I'm excited to sit down and watch it. I don't want to know, but I'm hoping to God I get concrete answers about the cliffhanger at the end of season two, because so far there isn't one, and it's driving me crazy. But anyways, Tom, I know we had some words before we got into recording. What have you been reading in the Star Wars universe?
Oh yeah, I'm right now. You know what? I wanted to be started on the Rogue One book before we recorded, and I just haven't been able to finish Ahsoka, which is the book that I'm almost finished with. So Catalyst is the Rogue One novel that I definitely want to make sure I finish before the movie comes out. I don't know anything about that yet, but Ahsoka is something that I actually picked up because I just wanted to have something Star Wars-y to read between Bloodline and Catalyst, and it's really good. I would tell everyone, fly in low. You know, don't fly in high. Don't expect lost stars. But I didn't have a lot of expectations because as much as I liked the Clone Wars, I didn't feel it had the weight that obviously the movies or a lot of the characters have had. And so I expected something fairly light. And it's not. And talk about giving you pieces of how the rebellion gets started. I mean, it's taking place in the time period right after the Empire has been formed, and not to give away too much about how the Clone Wars goes, but the fact that there's a book called Ahsoka means that she survived. So she wasn't around when Order 66 goes down.
Yeah, I mean, we've said before that this show you can expect just about any type of spoiler if it's no knowledge.
Exactly, and but at the same time, there's certain things there's certain things that would spoil Star Wars Rebels, certain things that would spoil Clone Wars. So I'm going to err on the cautious side. But you get some information about what happens to Rex from the Clone Wars and Ahsoka. You get a lot more information about what Bail Organa gets up to right after things go down. You get a lot more insight into what happens to Anakin Skywalker via the Force once he becomes Darth Vader. And then you get this look, especially if you're watching Star Wars Rebels, you get this look at how Ahsoka makes the jump from where she is at the end of Clone Wars, which is sort of outside the circle, which saves her life, frankly, and where how she gets involved in the rebellion that we see her in Rebels.
You just sold the book to me. Logging into my Amazon account as
it's so much fun. It's so much more fun than I expected.
Yeah,
you're getting to see that Ahsoka Tano growing up that you never really get to see in Clone Wars.
I would argue that we do see that to a certain degree because she annoyed the living hell out of me in the beginning of the series, and then it was
she became
the reason I kept watching. And I can't even tell you when. At some point, there was a crossover where Ahsoka became the most compelling character on that show for me.
And even though she never becomes a Jedi in Clone Wars, this feels like her becoming a Jedi, even though it technically can't be, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the original trilogy, I mean, we don't, considering no one really can become like a technical, like a real Jedi, we don't even see Luke complete his own training, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's never been my hang up.
There's that part in Return of the Jedi when he comes back to complete his training and Yoda's like, you're fine.
I'm dying. Good. I'm dead. And also there is another Sky.
What? Oh, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, is this any of these Jedi schools accredited? Because this feels awfully soft.
Yeah, man, when you're the last living Jedi and you're 800 plus years old, you're accredited yourself.
I guess so.
Who's gonna sue me? You got a diploma. Go be a Jedi.
go do
you're
it.
Fine. Go. Get out of here.
Well, I'm very glad.
I'm dying over here. No, really, seriously, I'm dying.
Yeah. He shows up at Dagobah. He kicks the bucket. He yells at Obi-Wan for lying to him, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. There's even a little allusion to the Skywalker children in Ahsoka. So.
Mm.
Very cool. Well, sweet. I will definitely have to pick that up. And I appreciate you setting my expectations to what I think is a reasonable level.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, this is not going to be like, oh my gosh, like Lost Stars is of the new round of books, I think the top for me. It's not quite up their storyline, but I don't think it's attempting to be either. It's not trying to be this vast, you know, galaxy spanning adventure. It's really focusing on Ahsoka Tano, but because of the story they chose to tell, which I think is really smart, it also gives you loads of sideways insight into the formation of the rebellion, which is really cool leading up to Rogue One.
All right, well, I got work to do.
As is generally the case with the show, I leave it having ordered something on Amazon in the middle of it. So, there we go. And speaking of Rogue One, I mean, we're, God, what, 4 weeks away? Slightly less than 4 weeks away from the release of it? Yeah. So how's the hype treating us? I mean, are we cautiously optimistic? Because, I mean, I remember this time last year, I was ready to leap out of my skin in excitement for The Force Awakens. So I'm curious where you all are now compared to a year ago.
It's really interesting because I have not felt the same way. I think I'm going to love that movie. It's not that I don't think I'm going to love it. It's just that, like, I don't feel like they're... Am I wrong that they're not putting out the same amount of, like, stuff ahead of this movie? Or is it just, like, I'm totally enmeshed in my little world and I haven't seen it?
I think you're right. It doesn't feel like as much.
No, I watch a lot of, you know, I have not cut my cord. I still watch a lot of traditional cable, and I see almost no TV spots for this movie.
I mean, maybe they don't need them. Maybe they're like, hey, if 65 to 70% of the people who go see The Force Awakens see this movie, we're fine. And well, those are like, I don't know.
Maybe they're managing expectations too. Like, they know I'm just going to make this up. Okay. Making this up out of whole cloth. But if what they're thinking is, this is a good movie, we've put a lot of work into polishing it and making it an acceptable movie, but this is no Force Awakens, and we don't want to build up the hype to the point that people expect Force Awakens and then leave disappointed and start trashing
Right.
Yeah. I I'm looking at it, and like in my head, the way I'm kind of parsing it and putting the pieces where I think they belong is like, I think of The Force Awakens as like, that's an Avengers, that's your big tentpole, you know, that's going to bring everyone in. And Rogue One, I'm thinking, is going to be more along the lines of Thor. And that's not me saying anything bad about Thor. Thor is like one of my favorite Marvel movies because it's just outlandish and absurd. But it's so far removed from, I think, like the Iron Mans of the world that brought the general public in to see the Avengers that it's never going, Thor is never going to bring in the money that the Avengers brings in. And I think Marvel is totally fine with that.
Yeah, that might be a really good analogy. We'll have to wait and see how people react after that first weekend. But I also think they really have been shifting how they sell this movie too. Like the last TV spot I saw really played up the nostalgia aspect more than any of the others, like showing you the Death Star multiple times, showing you Darth Vader, you know, talking about like we're a rebellion and we have to beat the odds, and like just really playing into that in ways before they were kind of treating it more as a generalized Ocean's 11 war movie, caper movie.
I'm trying to think of it as like, as if I saw this trailer, if this was the first new Star Wars movie coming out, if this kind of just, this was the first foray back into Star Wars, I think I'd be absolutely losing it. But because we're already here, Star Wars has already returned, and we know that we can expect at least one Star Wars movie for the rest of our natural born lives.
Yep.
That I'm just like, cool, let's just take it in stride and enjoy what comes our way. But I mean, this is the kind of thing I've always asked for. I've always wanted kind of more insular pieces. Like I've always said it'd be more interesting if they explored things outside of the Jedi, outside of the grand save the universe conflict. And while yes, stealing the Death Star plans obviously is a piece of the end goal of saving the universe from the Empire, it seems like this movie, and because we know obviously they're not going to destroy the Death Star at the end of it, it's not the goal of the film, that this is a more, you know, insulated story, and that excites me.
Yeah. I just want to see that map put up on the Hollow at Yavin at the end of the movie at some point. That's the resolution I'm looking for. It's like, yep, we've got it. We're starting to look for the exhaust ports right now. And then that just, you know, that's a nice little handoff towards A New Hope.
I want the last movie, the last words in Rogue One to be Womp Rat. That's the hope.
That's the size of a Womp Rat. Dun, 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 dun.
And out.
That would be so awful. I would love it. I'd be very in. I'd be very into that. But
and it's Biggs.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm surprised I haven't seen more media because, you know, my inner 5-year old, all it takes is a TIE fighter and a stormtrooper. Really,
I've seen some, but yeah, it's just definitely not on the level of Force Awakens. Right? I think Jenny's right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe they know better now than to do that. I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Speaking of which, did you guys?
Are we going to see Episode 8 teasers at all?
Well, good question.
Oh. I mean, that'd be the
wait. That'd be what if the teaser for Episode 0 was the a trailer for Rogue One?
Episode 0?
Sorry. You'll know why next week I said that. But I'm sorry. You know what I mean. What if Episode 8, its teaser trailer, was attached to Rogue One?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I meant to say.
That makes sense. Episode 8... when you go to see Rogue One on December 16th, has its teaser trailer instead of, because last time they did it on Thanksgiving in front of what, Big Hero 6 and a bunch of other things. So this time you delay it for 4 weeks, but you put it in front of Star Wars because that's what makes sense. And then, it, you know, not that people who love Star Wars aren't going to go see Star Wars anyway, but now they're going to start spreading that hype that maybe we're missing because it's about Episode 8 and that's the right way to build the hype.
Also, maybe they won't put it online first so that we can, for one brief moment, experience the magic of trailers again. I really miss trailers.
Well, I don't know. Jenny, my wife now works for movieclips.com, so I can't support that statement. But.
That's fair. anyway. Girl can dream.
Out of curiosity, have you both seen the recut trailer of Rogue One to the Beastie Boys Sabotage?
Yes.
It's so perfect.
Oh no. I want that.
It's so perfect. It's so damn
perfect.
Where
do I find that?
It's also hilarious because I saw that almost immediately after seeing the most recent Star Trek, where that song is a major plot point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But while we're on the Rogue One train, it looks like Kathleen Kennedy has confirmed and put in the ground, because we've already talked about this at least once on this very podcast, that Rogue One will not have an opening crawl.
Huh.
I'm good with that. I'm totally good with that now. I was weirded out by it because they used the crawl like font in the comic books, and I felt like, come on, that's the thing you do. It's not reserved just for the movies, but it is certainly different in a comic book than, you know, it doesn't actually crawl, for one thing.
Yeah. They used to use it in Clone Wars at certain points.
Yeah. Well, in Clone Wars, what did they do? They did the blue text every time, right?
Oh, you're right. I feel like maybe it was just the movie. One of them had the damn crawl.
Yeah. I think they used the crawl in the Clone Wars movie. Okay. You're right.
Well, that movie, you know what? That movie stinks. So I'm not going to invoke it as an example of what to do. So,
but, I do like the idea that the crawl is meant for episodes, right? The crawl is imitating the serials of the 50s and 60s and before, not really the 60s, I guess, some, but that's what the episodes are. This is not an episode. So this is not a serial. So it doesn't get the crawl done. I just rationalized it to myself. That was you watching that in action.
I'm fine with it because I actually am of the camp that would like to see these non-serial, you know, episode, the Skywalker saga movies. I'd like to see them innovate. I'd like to see them slowly do what the Marvel movies did, which was get their own look, their own feel, get weird. You know, like I would like to see... And being able to move away from that one stylized treatment is okay by me, you know. Like,
do
I don't think
you still want a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, though.
Probably.
All right, I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I you know, it goes along with that thing where they were saying with Michael Giacchino that the score for Rogue One will obviously reference Williams, but not necessarily have a ton of it in there, which is interesting because that goes along so clearly with A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. So like when you see that line up on the screen, you are pretty certain it's going to be followed by ba-ba-bum, you know, and if it's not, it's a really interesting choice and I'm not against it. I just am very curious to know how. I mean, look, a war movie doesn't start necessarily with a crawl. A 40s serial whiz-bang adventure does. And so if you're really going to make different genres of movies within the Star Wars universe, do different things. I'm okay with it.
More into it now. Like, yes, start it like a war movie from the 50s.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Star Wars with a cold open. I want it. You've sold me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, a cold open. Now you're crazy talking.
Garrett, we're not ready for a cold open.
Isn't that called a Hoth open?
Oh, now Tom Merritt.
Not if you're inside a Tauntaun, it's not.
So this whole bit about the crawl came out in a Variety article, which featured quotes from various folks. But may I say the one thing in this Variety article that rather stuck with me for this afternoon?
What's stuck with you, Jenny? What's in your craw?
Yeah. So the crawl is not in my craw. Something else is, which is Lucasfilm's new chief executive, Kathleen Kennedy, who I love and adore and respect, may have like just the tiniest little bit put her foot in it when it comes to talking about female directors for Star Wars. And I really do believe that this is just one of those things that like sounded reasonable in a person's head and came out and didn't get thought all the way through. But it's like a little weirder that it comes from Kathleen Kennedy, which is this. I'll just read it from Variety. Kennedy says she's committed to continuing to populate the Star Wars world with diverse faces. Yay! Both in front of and behind the camera. Finding a female director is a priority. Yay! Fewer than 12% of the biggest box office hits last year were overseen by women. And then here's the quote that was kind of like, oh boy. Quote, "We want to make sure that when we bring a female director in to do Star Wars, they're set up for success," says Kennedy. "They're gigantic films, and you can't come into them with essentially no experience." And that's where the wheels fell off the Kathleen Kennedy wagon for me a little bit, because who's that guy? That Colin Trevorrow guy, right? Who's directing one of the upcoming Star Wars movies.
Yes.
And he had a big movie called Jurassic Park, which Steven Spielberg basically picked him to do. And he'd only really done one other movie before that.
Jurassic World?
Yeah, Jurassic World.
Okay.
Yeah. The middling movie with lots of new dinosaurs.
Yes.
Right? But before that, he'd only done a movie called, I think, Safety Not Guaranteed, right? The cool time travel movie. Mm-hmm. That to me, there are many female directors out there that have that one movie that they did that is beloved. And I have a Vulture article with 100 names of female directors here that I could just read off and ruin the rest of this podcast, which I won't do. But I would suggest you read it in the show notes. And so I think it's just one of those things where, like, this is something that I give a lot of credit to Star Wars for, in having two women lead as characters the first two movies that they have put out the gate, right? So I'm being real, real, real generous here, but it goes back to this thing about like a man can have no experience and waltz confidently into a job with, you know, differing results, right? You get Colin Trevorrow pulls off a Jurassic World and Josh Trank tanks the Fantastic Four reboot. So there's equal result, but like that, I think there's going to be a little education here and a little further clarification from this Kathleen Kennedy quote. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about it, except, you know, Catherine Bigelow, I bet, would direct a Star Wars movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I took that quote to mean, and this is not exactly what she said, so I'm not quibbling with your response, but I took it to mean you want to set them up for success because you can't expect someone to just walk in when they have no experience with Star Wars, right? And I think, and again, I'm filling in a bunch of blanks for Kathleen Kennedy when I say this, and so then I think that's what we did with others who have been directing these, is we made sure we set them up for success. It all begs the question of, why do you have to say those things then? Right. And I think that's what you're reacting.
Yeah, for
that's
me,
where that's... I'm going with this. It's like, Kathleen Kennedy, you're the head of Lucasfilm. You're the actual embodiment of the success of women in Hollywood. Like, come on, let's go. Anyway, it's a minor point and a minor quibble, but it's actually a pretty reasonable way to kick off a discussion about these sorts of things. So ultimately, I give it yay.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, Gareth Edwards even didn't have that many movies under his belt before Rogue One. He had Monsters and he had Godzilla.
Well, J.J. Abrams had no experience with Star Wars movies. You know who else didn't have any experience directing Star Wars movies? Everyone except George Lucas and the two other guys that, you know, that did Empire and Return. So there you go. Like, yeah. it applies to all the people. It's not, because I think people rightly go, oh, so you're just picking on her words. And I don't think you're picking on her words. I think you're picking on the sort of implicit, like, you know, we have to be careful attitude. And it's like, you don't have to be any more careful with the female director than you do with the male director.
Yeah. It's just like, you need to bring all your directors in and gently bring them into this universe. Here's what I will say. Again, Star Wars can look to Marvel for an example, and they did this better with screenwriters than they've done it so far with directors, but like, they created a like a little program for writers and movie writers to start ginning up ideas for the Marvel Universe movies well years and years in advance of the movies that would actually come out. And there was this one writer named Nicole Perloff who came out with this great story idea for Guardians of the Galaxy, which turned into the hit movie of the summer. And she is now involved in writing tons of other movies, you know, in sort of the sci-fi fantasy universe. And so I would say is great. Let's get a program where we get all the super talented writers, directors, women, men, people of color, let's get them in the tent and start working on those ideas for the next batch of Star Wars movies, Marvel movies, etc. Like, okay, you want to solve that problem? Let's solve it right starting now. End of rant.
I enjoyed that rant. Well, another Rogue One news, because there is no easy segue out of that.
Well, here, let me try.
Oh, what
Jenny's advocating is that we use all 360 degrees of talent that exist in the world, no matter where it comes from, the way we want to experience Star Wars, which we can with Rogue One Recon.
Boom.
I am still a student. Merit is still the master.
That's right.
Yeah, so Rogue One Recon, a Star Wars 360 experience, showed up on my Facebook feed randomly one morning, and I went, oh, look at this. This was fun. They did one of these for Force Awakens, where we got to see the junkyard on Jakku, or the Starship graveyard, if I'd be a more accurate terminology. But this was neat. Have you both played around with this?
Not yet.
Load it up.
Hold on.
Now.
Hold on.
Do it. Because it's like,
I'm loading it up.
I think it's like about 90
seconds.
Get a
live experience here.
Yeah.
Wait, is it going to mess up Skype? Hold on.
It should be all right. Okay. As long as it's hopefully muted and not coming through. But these are fun. This is almost enough to make me want to pick up one of these darn PlayStation VRs just so I can see the what I'm told is a very, very small experience for Star Wars Battlefront. But. Not quite. Still not quite for me.
So, yeah, that was the other thing I was going to mention. Is this related to Star Wars Battlefront?
No. No, this is a Rogue One promo.
I thought way too close to that Death Star. There was a Star Destroyer, I mean.
Mine keeps freezing. Mine does not want to do the Star Wars 360 experience and Skype over Wi-Fi. Funny that. So I'll watch it later. I was really taken with the Star Wars Battlefront is coming out with it. Like, what is it? DLC, more stuff you can download in game terminology for the Rogue One for the battle.
To my knowledge, and I haven't dug deep because I'm not buying a headset anytime soon. It is a single mission.
Ah, yeah.
Which is
So
yeah.
Meh.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. I tell you what, I really want is a god darn ticket to see Rogue One.
Yeah.
How would you go about? Yes, I would too. How the heck? So we still don't know when we can buy these things. We don't know officially if there are going to be Thursday screenings. And again, this kind of balls it all up into what I find to just be a confusing lack of hype around Rogue One. I mean, yes, I get it. It's the Thor of your Star Wars universe, as we have now coined for this episode, but it's still Star Wars.
Thor Wars 1.
Maybe they're afraid. Oh, no, but they've started selling tickets in the UK, so they're not afraid to put tickets on sale somewhere, just not in the US yet.
Well, I guess I would quote Adam Sandler and say, Thanksgiving is a special time. I'm pretty sure they'll do some big announcement when everybody's home in front of the turkey.
They're gonna light up Twitter.
Yep.
Just don't do what you did last time and say you're gonna put them on sale at a certain time and then start them on sale like an hour before.
Dude, how do you think I got a whole row of tickets? Do it again.
Well, you got a whole row of tickets by going in person to a place. Right. Online, they said they will go on sale at what, 5 o'clock, I think, Pacific.
Yeah.
And then they started them on sale at 4:30 or whatever. They said they would put them on sale at halftime of the Monday Night Football game. I think that's what it was. And then they started them on sale before halftime began. Like, if you're going to say a time, stick to the time.
I mean,
unless you're in person at the theater, then it's a whole different ball of wax.
Right. And you browbeat some poor guy with a headset into getting a manager to open up a whole seating for you. I'm just saying, although we're not doing another Star Wars party this year, we've finally decided that's only for the main episodes because we don't get that kind of cash.
Yeah, your parties are like crawls only for the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm waiting on bated breath because this is Star Wars movies are it's like the only movie now that I plan with my friends. Like I want to make sure we all have tickets to the same theater because I'm sure it'll be in multiple theaters and the first night you can watch it.
My wife works for Fandango now.
What? We have an inside source.
I don't know if that means anything. I really don't.
Wait, this is so exciting on so many levels.
Yeah, right?
Okay. So tickets we don't have yet. Hype we don't have yet.
Well, so, I mean, I have the hype. The hype is everywhere. It surrounds us. It binds us,
penetrates us. Yeah.
But
fair enough.
Hyped beings are we, not this crude matter.
It's almost like we want to go to hyperspeed.
Yes.
Get our tickets.
Or hyper gossip.
Oh!
Oh, snap.
All right. Now the polar opposite of Jenny's high-minded rant about women directors in Hollywood. Take it away, Tom Merritt.
So Carrie Fisher has admitted in an interview that yes, indeed, she had an affair with Harrison Ford on the set of Star Wars A New Hope while Harrison was married with two kids. He's not married to the same woman anymore. It's all of the past. We all knew it happened, but she's admitted it in public because she has a book coming out called The Princess Diaries.
Did we all know this? Because I didn't know this.
Oh, please.
I didn't assume this. I didn't assume.
Maybe you
this.
Didn't know, but you knew.
I am of the age that when I was born, Star Wars was already here. It was already a thing. So when I saw it, I was of a fragile young age.
Yeah, but like later in your life, you never thought, I bet those two.
No. No, I didn't. So, yeah, no, this came as a shock to me.
Also, I mean, people have been gossiping about it for years, and she even sort of half confirmed it one time a long time ago by laughing coquettishly and not answering a question. But that was never a confirmation. That could have been, especially when you're talking about Carrie Fisher, her messing with the interviewer. But she told people that, yes, we did this, and it's going to be in her memoir, The Princess Diarist. And she cleared it with Harrison, or at least gave him heads up notice that she was going to go public with this.
Yeah, this is the number one topic I cannot wait to talk to my family about at Thanksgiving, because my mom.
You're going
to
be your go-to if politics or religion come up. You're just going to be like, hey, so what about Princess Leia and Han Solo, like, you know, having an affair during Star Wars?
Well, I mean, my whole life, this has been like the one kind of popular culture thing where my mom and I can actually meet because we don't like any of the same stuff. She loves herself some Harrison Ford. She has been going on and on about what a hunk he is, how much he loves his movies for as long as I have been on this earth.
So would their celebrity moniker be Harcar or Carhar or
Fishord?
Fishord.
I think it'll be
Forsher.
I think it'll be an angry
Kerrison.
There you go. There you go. I guess I don't know that I have anything to say about this because a long time ago I gave up buying Us Weeklies and OK, you know, all that gossipy stuff because it made me feel ill as a dentist.
I mean, this is extremely tabloidy, right? I mean,
I mean, she wrote the book. She's a good writer. Like, I'm sure she'll tell it well. But I guess what it comes down to. Yeah. Who wouldn't? I guess that's my takeaway on either side. Who would not?
There's no threat to Calista Flockhart at this point.
I know. Everybody's old.
And honestly, it informs, to me, it informs the performance in The Force Awakens a little more. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's definitely two people who, you know, once were in love and aren't anymore. Like, however briefly, that was pretty interesting.
That was actually kind of my secondary reaction to this. My first reaction was shock because clearly it had never even crossed my mind, as I am now feeling very dumb about. And the secondary one was, oh my God, The Force Awakens has such a meta underpinning now with the Harrison and Carrie scenes.
Well, wait till Mark Hamill's book comes out and he talks about what happened with Yoda. Then all hell's going to break loose.
Frank Oz and Mark.
No, Frank Oz. Why? No.
If anyone, Peter Behu.
If anyone ever tarnishes Frank Oz's like my image of him in my head,
really,
in any way.
There's nothing scandalous about this except for the age difference and the fact that Harrison was married with two kids. But otherwise, there's really nothing scandalous about
it. No, I'm aware.
Was she 19? Yes, of course.
Yeah. I just want to see more of Carrie Fisher.
Let's talk about Emilia Clarke, because Khaleesi got cast in the upcoming Han Solo movie.
Well, Emilia Clarke did. If she's reprising a role of Khaleesi in Star Wars,
well, I mean, I think
that
is
a crossover
Khaleesi
I would pay to see.
I just, they are one and the same. But yes, you're right. She won't be playing the part of Khaleesi, just channeling.
But wouldn't that be awesome? Can we get a Patton Oswalt rant on Parks and Rec about that crossover? That would be delightful. For two reasons. One,
Rolos.
Yeah. One, Parks and Rec would be back.
We still don't even know what the title of this movie is. We don't know when it's coming out, but now we know Lando, Han, and the female character without a name.
I hope the title
Don't let it be a mom. Don't let her have to be a mom, right?
Oh, like Han Solo's mom.
Han mom.
Lando, Han, clean up your room.
Yeah. That part I could avoid. But if she's some badass, you know, awesome lady smuggler, I'm into it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting, to be honest. I don't see them casting Emilia as Han's mom.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm surprised.
Have you been to Hollywood?
I'm surprised that's the first place you went. Like, I get it. She's been sidelined in Game of Thrones since the beginning.
I understand. She's mother of dragons. It's a type.
And mother of John Connor.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Well,
those are very different mothers.
Oh, I forgot that movie existed.
Moms in the Star Wars universe, they don't fare well.
Don't end well.
No. I mean, we've met one of them.
We've met two.
Well, I guess Aunt Beru isn't technically a mom.
It's a motherly figure, I guess.
Figure. We only went one.
Let's put it this way. If you're a motherly figure living in a hut on Tatooine, things don't end
things don't end well for you.
And if you're anyone on Alderaan,
Or if you're Padme Amidala and you give birth to twins and then fade off into the ether, it's not so great for you either.
No, so there's right. Three. We got three.
Yep, sorry. Yeah, I forgot. At the very end of that film, she is technically a mother.
Yeah.
Well, that's not where my brain went with Emilia Clarke at all. I assumed they, you know, just wanted a badass actress.
What about poor Mrs. Organa, who we never even really get to meet before her planet just gets turned into rocks?
Does she even show up in Clone Wars? Because Bail shows up all the time in that.
You see her from the back. He puts his arm around her and she's holding the baby. That's all.
Now all I can think of is Carrie Fisher.
Oh, not Clone Wars. I'm sorry. That's in Revenge of the Sith. I don't think she's ever in Clone Wars.
You're right. Yeah, she does show up in that briefly. And now all I can think of is...
She wears like a pretty traditional Spanish costume. It's actually kind of nice. I'd like to know more about her. Can I get a comic book about her?
Yeah.
I want to read a whole book about Alderaan. Like, now while we're at it. Like,
oh, that's actually one of the nice things in Ahsoka is you get a glimpse of Alderaan. It's not it's not the whole book, obviously, but you actually get to visit Alderaan, and it's kind of fun.
Hmm. Yeah, I spent a lot of time there while I was playing the Old Republic MMO.
Right.
That's Alderaan.
Alderaan. Yeah, I get it. Dad jokes.
Fair enough.
Out of curiosity, did either of you see Carrie Fisher on Stephen Colbert last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, not yet.
Well, obviously they talked somewhat about the gossip news, but she also, Jenny, you're concerned, but don't make her a mom. All I can think of now is her rant from last night where Stephen asked her, you know, Leia is Force sensitive. Why doesn't she get a lightsaber? And Carrie Fisher goes off on what is now becoming an expected reaction, where she kind of just like, oh, it's women in Hollywood. That's why she doesn't have a sword. Of course, I'm sitting there as a nerd going, but Star Wars is like the first movie I can ever remember seeing where it had a strong female character.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, I think it's entirely legitimate to say that some people's force powers present in some ways and some people's force powers present as like intuition and empathy. And if you don't train, look, she never trained, right? So if you don't train, you don't get to make your own lightsaber and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I think it's equally valid to say that it's just as important to be a politician as it is to be a slightly whiny brat with a lightsaber running around not finishing your training. So,
seriously,
you know,
right? Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with it.
She's a senator. She's a general.
Yeah. She did all right. And then a little force kick that lets her know when sad things are happening on platforms inside of giant planet things.
Colbert made fun of that. He's like, her force powers is just to look bewildered.
You have to be taught how to assemble the lightsaber. You have to visit the planet where the Kyber crystal calls to you. I mean, there's a lot involved in making
unless lightsaber. Your daddy gives you one and you just go down
to Ollivander's and pick one up.
Unless, you know, some guy stored it in a chest for you for 40 years and just hands it to you. Then
you're just going to lose it.
Yeah. Drop it off the first platform you're on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So,
I mean, can't even keep track of the lightsaber I gave you, Luke.
I really like what they did with Leia in the Force Awakens. I like that she became a general. Like, that's where she is. Yeah. It makes total sense to me.
I would buy Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, as a general any day of the week.
Indeed. Well, I think it's going to wrap it up for this episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars. Thank you, everyone who are, you know, subscribing around the web on whatever it is. If you're subscribing via iTunes, make sure you drop us a review if you enjoy the show. We would really very much appreciate that. If you'd like to support us a little bit more, go to patreon.com/Let's Talk About Star Wars. It's the best way to support the show. And as always, we have to thank the Andrew Allen Trio for our intro and outro music. You can find more of their work at andrewallentrio.com/music. And make sure you go grab their Star Wars tribute album on iTunes. Tom, where can folks find you when you may still be talking about Star Wars, but not necessarily on this specific program?
Current Geek. We talked about the Carrie Fisher thing on Current Geek at currentgeek.com. But for all my shows, tech news, science fiction, fantasy, and everything else, go to tommerritt.com.
Jenny Josephson.
You can find me slowly wafting away into nothingness on the breeze. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me at JennyJ23 at JennyJ, JennyJ23 on Twitter. All things that I announce or will be announced that I'm involved in will be there. That's all.
And you can find me just before I disappear upon my death, right before I tell my trainee that he has a twin, on Twitter at Garrett Art. There's 2 R's and 2 T's in Garrett. Don't forget that second T. Everybody does. And every other podcast I do can be found on amove.tv. That is AMOVE.TV. Oh, and I forgot to mention next month we'll be doing two episodes, ladies and gents. Count them, two. We're going to be doing a Star Wars Rogue One episode. We'll be recording that on Tuesday the 6th, most likely releasing it on Wednesday, December 7th. And then we'll be recording a spoiler show all about Rogue One. It will be the only topic, unless something insane drops, like a teaser for episode 8.
What?
Who knows? Right. But our Rogue One spoiler show will record hopefully shortly after we all see Rogue One. Who knows, because we can't buy damn tickets yet. But when we do.
And we'll will inform you how many of Snap Wexley's relations are in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah. I'm honest.
How about how many of Poe Dameron's relations are in Rogue One? Possibly. Is that possible?
We're just going to see Oscar Isaac with slightly different facial hair and a little like
that's okay by
dye.
Me.
I'm always down for more Oscar Isaac, so that's fine. But we'll be recording that the weekend of the release of Rogue One, so be on, keep an eye out for that. Lots of Let's Talk About Star Wars coming to you in December. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and until next time, may the Force be with you.